Psalms. Book of Psalms, chapter number 37. Psalm chapter 37, if you were here this morning in the Sunday school hour, you'll know what Brother Tim taught on the first few verses of this psalm. And I thought today, after the service this morning, had been thinking about it over the last few days, everything that's going on in our world and everything that's went on just in the last couple of days in our own communities. And the Lord began to work in my heart and bring me back to this scripture. And I'm not going to really deal with anything or re-say anything that was said in the service this morning or in the Sunday school hour. But I want to look at the last portion of this chapter. Brother Tim dealt with the first part this morning, and I want to look at the last few verses and trust that the Lord will help us in this service. Don't know how long we'll be, but I just want to be obedient to the Lord and try to give you what I feel He's put on my heart for the service tonight. Psalm chapter 37, when you found your place, if you're physically able and willing to do so, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. Psalm 37, I'll begin reading tonight in verse number 34. Wait on the Lord and keep His way. He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I think it was probably mentioned in the Sunday school hour this morning, but just to remind you, Psalm 37, the entire chapter, matters not really where you pick up reading and where you leave off. The entire chapter is a contrast between the righteous and the wicked. I remember years ago reading after a writer, I don't even remember who they were, about this chapter and about this contrast. Now, as was said this morning in Sunday school, Brother Tim taught about English and him hating it in school, and so did I. But I learned there a few things, and a comparison is always pointing out the similarities, and a contrast is always pointing out the difference. And so here the writer who we're told is David is pointing out all the differences between the righteous and the wicked. One writer said all them years ago that I read, it's like to compare or to contrast the righteous and the wicked, to take them and to try to bring them together or to look at them and compare them. He said you cannot compare them because it's like comparing a day with no sunset to a night with no sunrise, or to compare the righteous to the wicked. And that's right. And so here David is trying to write to those who he is writing to, the people of Israel, the people of God, no doubt. And he admonishes them and encourages them, as was read this morning, not to fret about evildoers or about the wicked. I'd say prosper in their way. But now the word fret has several meanings. It don't just mean to worry, but it also means to get so anxious with care that you become jealous or you begin to question because that you don't understand. And if we're not careful in this day, especially in this year we're living in, when it seems like the Lord began to speak to my heart today and I began to read these verses that I read into you here tonight. In verse 35, David writes, and he says, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. And surely in 2020, it matters not your political affiliation, but we have seen the wicked in great power. And they're going to continue until the Lord comes to be in power. You say, I don't understand it, why it has to be this way. Well, Paul said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that word high has two different meanings, two different applications. It can mean high in the heavenlies, as of those that we cannot see, supernatural power, but it also means high in rank and high in influence. And you and I are seeing come to fruition of the reality that there is spiritual wickedness in power in high places. And if we're not careful, we'll get to fretting ourselves, not just worrying and wondering, but we'll get to looking around and realizing that maybe the wicked seem like they're prospering, everything is going well for them, nothing is going like we think it ought to or how we'd like for it to. And if we're not careful, that'll start within us a seed where we'll fret because of evildoers. And he that prospers in his way, David said, I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. I got the concordance down this evening and looked up that word bay. I thought it was some kind of tree, and it may be, but literally what the word in the Hebrew means is it's a tree that's in its native soil. What David's saying is the wicked, I looked around and it seems like all the conditions were just right for them to flourish and them to prosper. I'm telling you, we're living in a day where all the conditions are just right for the wicked to prosper and flourish. But the reality still is to us as the people of God, we have a land and a hope beyond this veil of tears. The song said, I'm sure it will be far better than this. The reason we fret ourselves from time to time is that we lose sight of the hope that lies before us. Our faith gets weak. You say it ain't got nothing to do with faith. Oh, yeah, it does. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That hope that we have, that Paul says, anchored within the veil, where Christ the forerunner hath entered for us. We can't see it with the natural eye, but by the eye of faith, we can see that there's coming a day that it'll be better than it is for us now. I'm not here to grumble and complain. I got no gripes against the Lord. I have no sad stories to tell. But the reality is this, and this what's on my heart tonight, and I'll try my best to hurry and get it to you. I don't really have anything structured or formal. I just got the thought that's on my heart. The Lord began to work in me where David began to write here. And he said, I've seen the wicked in great power and spreaded himself like a green bay tree. But then in verse 36, he said, yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. And then in verse 37, he said, mark the perfect man. That word mark means to observe closely or to pay close attention to. It is in the Old Testament the equivalent of the New Testament word behold, which means to turn all your attention on. It don't just mean to look, but it means to focus intensely on the perfect man. Now that's not perfect without sin, but that's the one that's complete, the one that's been saved, the one that belongs to God. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. And the Lord spoke to my heart this evening, and He said, you go in tonight. Now, like I said, I ain't got nothing straight, so I just got to fall. And the Lord said, you preach to them or tell them about now and then. Now and then. Right now it don't look too good. Right now it looks like our nation will probably, and I'm not being a prophet, I'm not telling you what the future holds. I'm just telling you how it seems now. It looks like our nation will never be the same again. It looks like God will never have first place in our nation, our country again. It looks to me like God will never have first place in our state again. God will probably never have first place in our county. And really, if you want to be honest, probably never in our community. I'm sad to say, but the reality probably is that God may never have first place in some churches anymore. But I'm telling you, that's the now. I'm glad there's a brighter day coming around the corner. The writer said, the darkest hour is just before the dawn. And I believe we're about it to midnight hour, where it's getting so dark we can't see, and we don't know which way to go. And the wicked of this world's a prospering. It seems like everywhere. It seems like they're that Green Bay tree that David wrote about. That they're in their native soil. They have all the conditions just right. The minerals are in the soil they need. The sun's shining like they need it to. And they're spreading themselves and a prospering. And it looks like, and I'm preaching about how we see it. It looks like as we see, the church is getting smaller and smaller and smaller and weaker and weaker. But I'm here to tell you tonight, that's just now. Wait till then comes around. All of the verbs that David uses from verse 34 to verse 37 to talk about the situation and the contrast he's bringing around, it's all in future tense. He said the righteous or the wicked shall be cut down. He said they shall die, and lo, they shall not be found. But I'm glad after verse 38 he said the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous. Now, ain't this amazing? Now hang on just a minute. Let's look here. Wait on the Lord. There's that word again from this morning. It just means to be quiet, not to offer your advice, not to offer your opinion, not to tell God which way to go. It means that we're in the pastor's seat and he's in the driver's seat, and we're not going to complain. When he takes a turn, we don't want to go down. When he makes a right turn, we want to go left. We're just real quiet because we trust him. Wait on the Lord. Keep his way and he shall exalt thee. I'm glad there's a future for us. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. That's right now. Yet he passed away. That is to come. And he was not. I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man. That's right now. We better get our eyes on what matters. We better realize that God has provided some better thing for us. Paul said it like this: I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul was saying the now has no bearing on the then. I know it's hard right now, but then will be worth it after a while. Yes, sir. Right. What I was amazed about In verse 38, he said, but the transgressors shall be destroyed. That's in the future. That's then. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. That's then. But the salvation of the righteous, we would think that that would be then. He doesn't say the salvation of the righteous shall be of the Lord, but he said it is of the Lord. You and I are saved now as we'll ever be. It's assured for us. There ought to be some hope in our heart tonight that we are somebody going somewhere because the great somebody died for us. Salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them. This is the then now. The Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. I'm going to be the first to confess. Because, and it was said this morning, I'll say it again, confession is good for the soul. There are some days all that I can see is the now. That's the way we're wired. Paul said we see now through a glass darkly. We don't see the big picture. All we see right now is chaos. All we see right now is turmoil. All we see right now is wicked in high places, prospering, spreading themselves like that green bay tree. All we see right now is it looks like there's no hope for us. But I'm glad there's a brighter day just over yonder. I'm glad it don't end now. But I'm glad there's a then a coming. I'm glad there's a better day just over the horizon. One writer of the song, you know me, I talk about songs a whole lot. But one writer said, beyond the sunset for me, all the world can see right now and all the church seemingly can see is it looks like the sun's going down. And when the sun sets, it's all going to be over. But I got good news from a far country. There's something waiting us beyond the sunset. And it's a day where there'll never be no sunset. There'll be no night there. The gates of the city are open by day, and they're always open because there'll be no night. And they'll enter in nothing that transgresseth, nothing that maketh a lie, nothing unclean, nothing unholy, no sin, no devil, no flesh, no trouble, no pain, no sorrow, no crying. For the former things are all passed away. And the Bible said, God said, I'll make all things new. That's the then for us. If we could only see the then for us. It's kind of like, and I think I'm about done tonight. It's kind of like the story of Lazarus and the rich man. In the present time, everybody wanted to be like the rich man, and nobody wanted to be like Lazarus. The Bible said there was a rich man, clothed in purple, fine linen, that's the now. Fared sumptuously every day. Probably had the biggest house in town, probably sit on the highest hill. Everybody that walked by probably said, wish I had what the rich man had. And the now for Lazarus was, and there was a beggar named Lazarus. It's in Luke 16 if you want to read it. Who laid it as the rich man's gate full of sores, desiring the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. No man gave to him. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Everybody that walked by that gate and looked up on the hill said, I'd like to have what the rich man has. And I sure don't want to be like Lazarus. But the Bible said it came to pass that the rich man died and Lazarus died. And when Lazarus died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That's the then. The rich man also died and was buried. Now, I'm sure you've heard it 1,000 times, but have you ever stopped and thought that the Bible said that Lazarus died? It don't mention anything about him being buried. He didn't have no money, didn't have what it sounded to me like, didn't have no family, probably didn't have anybody to give him a proper burial. He just died, and nobody ever thought again about Lazarus. Nobody probably come to his funeral, probably didn't even have one. When he was gone, nobody probably ever gave him a second thought. And the rich man died, and he was buried. And everybody in town probably stood in line to pay their respects to the rich man. But the Bible said, and in hell, he lift up his eyes. Being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried, Father Abraham, would you send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedest thou good things. That was the now. And likewise Lazarus evil things. That was the now for him. But he said, but now in the then he's comforted and thou art tormented. I'm going to tell you, all them people that walk by and said, I wish I had what the rich man had. I wish I had what the rich man had. I don't want to be like Lazarus. I don't want to be like Lazarus. If the rich man could preach from hell tonight, he'd tell you he'd rather have what Lazarus had than to have what he had 10,000 times over.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you something tonight, child of God. Take heart and courage and comfort to know that there's a then coming for us. And it will be far better than this. All of this very tears will pass away, and it won't even be a memory on that day. But I also want to say to you tonight, if you're not saved, just like there'll be a then for the saved, those that are prepared, there'll be a then for those who not. And what's going on right now, the worst thing, the worst situation that you could find in our world today, in some third world country where they're starving to death, laying by the side of the road in oppression and afflicted, is not a drop in the bucket compared to the torment that will be hell for all eternity for those who are not ready to meet God when He comes. And I don't know when He's coming. I believe it's very soon.
Yes, sir.
But I do know He's coming. And all the signs are pointing to the fact He's coming soon. I was growing up, I hadn't thought of this song in years. Growing up in my home church at the youth choir, we used to sing a song, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. I'm going to tell you, soon and very soon, the King's coming. And He's going to come just like the old preacher, or the old black preacher talked about the hide and seek game. When you count how long you count, you cry out when you get to the time, ready or not, here I come. I'm going to tell you, ready or not, He's coming. I'm glad tonight to be ready. I'm glad tonight to sing a song, I want to be ready. I'm glad I am ready. Not by anything that I've done. As Titus said, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by His grace He saved us. And I'm going to say, if you're not ready, you better get ready, because He's coming. You may think now's bad. If you die unprepared to meet God, then it'll be far worse. David said, the wicked may prosper now, but there's coming a day they'll be cut off. And my heart couldn't help but go to the scripture where Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven being like a field where there was wheat and tares sown together. And He said that the owner went out and said to cut down the wheat and the tares, gather the wheat into the barn. That's the top of the saved. He said, but bind the chaff and burn them with unquenchable fire. And I'm glad for then for the people of God. Now may not look too good. As far as we can see, all the things that are going on look so bad. But I'm glad there's a brighter day coming. Just beyond the sunset. Now I'm going to say tonight, not to discourage you, not to hinder you or to draw away your joy, but I'm going to tell you, as the sun of time sets, it's going to get darker and darker and worse and worse. But I'm going to tell you, they say scientifically it's proven that the darkest hour is just before the dawn. So the worse it gets and the darker it gets, the more enthused inside us, we ought to be jumping up and down. It's just around the corner for us. It's a coming. He's coming. And I'm glad He's coming for me. And I hope He's coming for you. And if He's not, and He deals with your heart, I'd cry out to Him. I'm glad mercy's still real. Grace is still abundant. The blood still has the power to save. If He draws you and wounds you, He's not playing games. I've never seen Him draw a sinner and the sinner respond in the right way that He won't save them. He don't dangle salvation in front of you and then pull it away. He's a merciful and a long-suffering God. Not willing, it's not His will that any should pass, but all come to repentance. I'm glad He's merciful unto men. I'm glad that though it may look bleak now, I'm glad there's a then just beyond the sunset for the people of God. Father in heaven, I thank You, Lord, tonight for this privilege and opportunity to have been able to be in Your house with Your people. I thank You, Lord, for each one that's come this way.